It's Country in the Air at the Shasta District Fair, jam-packed with entertainment for all. Wednesday's Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day is free admission to kids 12 and under with Canada's Country Music High Valley Concert brought to you by Wildcard Brewing Company. Thursday is Record Searchlight Action News Now, Senior Day with free admission 62 and over, and the music of Journey Revisited, sponsored by Sierra Nevada Brewery. Friday's Members First Credit Union Grandstand Concert features country music's Jackson Mickelson, sponsored by Miller Coors. And Saturday, it's Tri-County's Bank's annual Junior Livestock Auction, plus Budweiser and Bud Light present action-packed go-kart, auto, and boat races. Organized chaos at its best. All this plus hypnotist Chris Mabry, World of Reptiles exhibit, strolling comedy and magic show, local bands, camel rides, talent show, and much more. Carnival rides, fair food, and plenty of free entertainment with paid fair admission when the Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 15th. Advance carnival and admission tickets save you as much as 30% and must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th.
If you have knee or hip pain, learn how to stop hurting and start moving again. Providence Orthopedic Institute invites you to a free talk on June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Mako Technology at Providence may be the right solution for your knee or hip joint pain. Life is better in motion, so come to Providence Orthopedic Institute's free talk Friday, June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Register at 888-907-0915 or at providence.org/jointrobot.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow, Sunday once again, June 12th, 2016, and my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. He does all the heavy lifting, and Bob Martin, a trusted producer, soundboard operating, all-around great guy.
Hey, good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
Good morning.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time, with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descent into the unfunded pit of hell.
Pretty much.
That's I'm not sure if that said it all, but
I think that
close.
Describes it fairly accurately.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. I have to go through my email. I see there was somebody I needed to let in. I will let you in as soon as I get there, and you know who you are.
All righty, then. And the mystery continues. Yeah.
Reading Patriots meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. At 3276 Pacelli Lane. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. Those radical guys. Crazy people that want to follow the law as it's, intended. Hmm. Unlike a local judge that likes to interpret the Constitution. I told you about that with my red flex, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, gee, it says in the Constitution that any controversy over $20, I don't think this has been changed, you're entitled to a jury trial. And I got a ticket from the Red Flex guys, and that's going to become a bigger and bigger issue because it's just a cash cow ripoff by local government so they can fund the coffers of their illicit spending and criminal behavior. But, I say, is the Constitution still the law of the land? Not as she interprets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, gosh, I didn't know that a local judge in charge of traffic was now the one who actually interpreted the Constitution. Just saying.
I don't have anything to say to that, at least not that it'll pass FCC regulation.
Yeah, I know. I'm having a hard time controlling my temper at this point even. You've been listening.
But, I mean, what do you do or say to that when you say, hey, can I have my constitutionally guaranteed jury trial? Well, I don't interpret the Constitution that way.
I interpret the Constitution that you have no rights.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And now I should go quietly away into the night and not do anything. You see, I listen to Terry call in, and he says, "Oh, metaphorically speaking, we should, I'm starting to think
metaphorically.
No, I don't think it's metaphorically anymore. I think it's a pitch, we're afraid we're going to incite a riot. No, I think that the guys who are inciting the riots are the guys that are administering the rules and the law at this point, because they've decided that the law no longer applies to them and their ilk and cronyist. What's the word I'm looking for? Scumbag, slime.
Yeah, I have POS. Several words that, again, don't qualify for radio for that.
Okay. So maybe I should get back on track here before I go off onto a big rant. Veterans events. Do we have any?
I can't think of any. I was actually busy doing something else, but I do want to remind people we do have Camp for Life coming up at the end of August. That's where we do the camp out at Whiskeytown Camp Hope. Need camp out there for terminally ill children. Missing in America Project and Walmart Heart sponsors that out there. So it's also open to the public during the daytime, so people can bring their kids and family out and do some fishing. And we salute you. Oh, yeah, KIXE will be honoring veterans June 26th through July 30th on KIXE. You can put a veteran's name in on a form, and they will videotape them down there at the studio and honor them and everything. So if you want more information, it's 243-5493.
Quick question. Are they only doing that for vets that are currently living, or can you provide photographs and maybe a brief biography of deceased vets?
I would imagine any veteran, if you fill out the paper. And I have some here. You can get them down at the studio. But it is We Salute You event down there. And so if you provide a photo and everything, they will put it up there at KIXE.
And they'll be on the air 12 seconds about 8 times a day.
All okay. Right. So.
Yeah, I see that Sally says in the chat room something about Tom Masenko said he would be happy to come on the show and talk about the new CCW law. I know we've got Patrick coming in.
Yeah, I put back that if he wants to come in around 11, I mean.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Is that what time is Patrick coming
Patrick in? Should be here about 10:30.
Okay, so Patrick Jones, 10:30.
From what I've seen from Sheriff Masenko, he will not be changing or altering his policy of issuing CCW at all.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a non sequitur. It just verifies the fact that there's a bunch of sheriffs in Southern California who really don't care about the Constitution. They care more about, their staying in power. Anyway, with that, we have a couple of special guests with us, and I'll let you introduce them. If you can.
Excuse me. Yeah, we have Millie and Kathy from Classic Cafe Inn, and I asked them to come in for several different reasons. One, to get us an update to how things were going down at the cafe. But the other day when I stopped in there and I was talking with Millie, I dropped bread off for the veterans down there, and then they distribute it to the veterans that need it. She was telling me that they've had some problems down there. And so I wanted to bring them on the air and talk about this, the property is sold down there. A management company, I believe in San Francisco, has bought it, and there are some issues going on. So, again, we have Millie and Kathy in. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you guys could come in.
Well, the person that bought the square is from San Francisco. The property manager is from Corning, or I don't know. She's got offices in Corning and in Red Bluff, and I don't know where else. But she's not from the area. He's not from the area, and they're treating us like country bumpkins, and they're changing things so badly that there's going to be a lot of people having to leave. One business has already closed.
Okay, and for people that don't know, you guys have been down there for a lot of years, like 30 years in the same location.
Yeah.
A lot of these businesses have been there at least as long as we have, and they're all local people that spend the money that's spent with them, they spend it locally, so our dollar bounces.
Mm-hmm.
And if they put everybody out of business, they'll be bring in people from out of the area, and the money will go out of the area.
Right.
Yeah.
So since they bought the property down there, give us some ideas, some of the things. I know they've increased the rents down there is one thing that they've done.
They haven't increased ours because we have, $5.30. We have a lease for one more year, but other leases are coming up, and that's the problem, that the leases that are coming up, they're not going to be able to carry the rent. They're
essentially attempting to drive everybody out of there so
Precisely. They
can do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the CAM fees, and I'm not altogether sure what a CAM fee is, but one of the businesses that is negotiating with
them, who's been there at least 35 years.
Yeah, they've been there at least 35 years. They are trying to increase their rent by 3 times, and the CAM fee over and above the rent is going to be $2,000.
What do they want?
What is a CAM fee?
Yeah, that's a good question.
In theory, it takes care of the landscaping, of which we have absolutely none.
It's all pavement and cement.
Precisely, and all cracked up and nasty. It's bad.
So what do they want to do with the place? They want to rebuild it or something?
We're not exactly sure, but he's got some reason for trying to drive all of the local mom-and-pop businesses out of the area.
Now, from what I understand, this business in San Francisco manages primarily auto malls.
He owns auto malls.
That kind of tells you
our new landlord.
That's sort of what we're thinking, too. We just don't know.
So they want to bring in another auto mall, and the Board of Supervisors will want to do that for the tax base. But,
yep.
I mean, do we have any room for more auto malls in this part of the world? Because I'm pretty sure that the sales are starting to decline anyway.
Absolutely. It has to be.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can follow the trail on this. Unfunded liability is out of control. City of Reading can't afford unfunded liability. They want to put a sales tax in to cover the unfunded liability. The number one sales product out of Reading
is
new vehicles. So now we've allowed a new management company that runs auto malls to purchase down on Cypress and drive out local businesses that existed for over 3 decades.
The owner's behind this then, obviously, whoever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, being a free market capitalist, I guess that's okay. You guys can't move to another location?
Oh, yeah, we can move, but I suspect they all will have to. But the one business that's already closed had just completely remodeled and just had their grand reopening and closed almost the same day.
Wow. I would think that they would have some kind of a better contract that would say that they couldn't do that. I mean, you'd have on a lease at least, 5 to 7 years or something.
Well, apparently, a lot of the businesses don't have leases, and so that puts them in trouble.
Right. So have they been misled? I guess would be the first question by the property manager that nothing was going to happen or this is all a new deal.
This is all a new deal. We had no idea it was going to be sold until it was sold, and all of a sudden we're getting letters from a property manager saying this is what we're going to do.
We had she called a meeting at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, which of course was ludicrous for any small business to attend, and very few people attended. And our one neighbor from the
Osteo Strong
store next door, his wife could run the business, and he attended. And the people facing Cypress were complaining because the trees were blocking the view of their signs from Cypress Avenue. So the property manager said, well, we will just cut all these trees down. We're talking about 30 to 50-year-old trees. And this man said, oh, wait a minute, that's along that canal that's owned by the city. You can't cut down trees on properties, city property. And she said, we will just cut them down and then tell the city that they're diseased. Well, Gary Cad...
I guess nobody will see that, huh?
Gary Cad got word of it by somehow. And also Kurt Starman. And he called her and talked to her, and she said, oh, of course, it's all going to be done properly. And so she sent us a nastygram around that by email that said they were going to be all pruned properly and everything. And her parting shot to the city manager was, I'm glad to know that my tenants are ratting on me.
Well, she doesn't sound like a very ethical person to begin with. Now, this is the shopping center down on Cypress. And
Cypress Square.
Cypress Square. And that's the one that's Cypress and...
Athens,
right there where Orchard Nutrition is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to take out that whole deal? Is that what they're talking
about? They own
about?
It from Athens to Park Marina.
That whole block. That's like Castiato Lubes, that's Orchard.
Everything.
That's... Wow. There's a lot of businesses been there a long
Tortilla
time.
Tortilla Flats.
Yeah.
Skye's is the little restaurant that used to be an ice cream shop that we've heard is gone out of business. And...
Well, business is pretty tough right now, period.
Well, my question is considering how difficult it is to bring a business to the city of Reading to get through the permit process, the expense of the permit process, who at City Hall expedited this? Because it sounds like it happened very rapidly, taking into consideration how difficult it really is to open a new business in Reading.
We got word in February that it was being sold, and they took over February 1st.
Hmm.
Wow.
So who expedited that?
Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well, I got a pretty good idea.
I would think we should be able to find out, and I would think that there... You know, you might want to contact an attorney for damages here as a class action. But each one of the individual parties that are being hurt here, in this action, I would think that there would be an attorney that would take that on for damages for breach of contract. There's got to be some things in there.
We're kind of looking into this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Without going any further.
So
yeah, good.
And
so
didn't you guys yourselves just do a lot of remodeling and replacement of equipment and things like that?
The veterans did a fundraiser for us, and they put so much new equipment into our place.
Everything is new.
And made it 100%, 1,000% times easier for us.
Yeah.
But if we're forced out, which we will have help from the veterans... They've already assured us all of our equipment will go with us, so we won't lose that.
My question was, did any of this ever hit the city agenda to where it would be open to public comment? Because I, for myself, like Mark, I'm a free market capitalist and believe in certain things. But at the same time, there's a lot of businesses down there that I would much rather keep than see another parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it was ever agendized by the city for public comment.
I can't believe that it was.
Our landlord, our old landlord, we thought was the worst possible.
But you were wrong.
We were wrong.
In 30 years, they never did one thing to the parking lot. They never painted the outside of the building, part of it one time.
Yeah.
Oh, they did end up painting our part, too, because I threatened to paint red, white, and blue stripes up and down it. And so they went ahead and painted it.
Just around the windows.
Yeah. Mm. But they chose to do it themselves.
My grandma and her friends often eat at your guys' cafe. My family's gone to Cassidy's Auto Lube for oil changes since as long as I can remember. You know, we buy most of our produce and a lot of our products at Orchard.
We do, too. We buy as local as we can.
I don't want to see that stuff go.
It's crazy that they're changing everything up and nobody knows, and they can just automatically assume that they can
do
all
that. And they don't care.
And they don't care.
the city council knows about it now, and
Gary Katz's
hands are tied. And the city manager knows about it, and according to him, there's nothing he can do. Dave Benda wrote
I find that very duplicitous because they could do something. They could do the same thing they do to every other business that tries to open in Reading and kill their permits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look what's happening out there. The recovery continues in Shasta County. If anybody hasn't looked around and seen all the stores closed and all the people going out of business, it looks like Target's next. They're on the chopping block as far as their financial situation is going down the tubes, partly because of a boycott.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the mother country of France is in flames, too.
They got a lot of flack from the transgender
bathroom
stupidity. But you're seeing more and more of this happen, and it's not going to, in my opinion, get better for quite some time. But, you'd think that they would want to keep the existing businesses here that are doing okay. But
one would expect that, wouldn't they?
Especially something that's as long-standing as you guys. And it for me, it goes farther than just the economy. It's part of the culture and who we are as Reading. There's certain things down there that are just part of Reading.
Right. And what you guys represent. I mean, you guys have been 30 years at that location, and you have so much history on those walls.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you haven't been in there, I mean, the walls are just, from one end to the other of pictures and stuff about different veterans. So, I mean, they cover a lot of territory, a lot of information there.
And I'm not opposed to new business coming into Reading, but with the amount of space that we have, do we have to do it at the expense of other business?
Isn't that a wonderful question? I like that.
Yeah, we can't stick them out at the good old shovel-ready Stillwater Park.
There you go.
Well, that is a good location for a car dealership because there's a lot of other car dealers around there. And again, I'm a free market capitalist, and if people should be able to do with their property with what they will. But I would think there would be some ramifications on some leases and maybe getting you out of there. They're going to get you out of there to compensate you and get you to another place or something. I would think without looking at your lease or your contracts there that there must be something that you could do if you do have to get out of there to make you whole again and assuage some of the damages.
According to what we can understand, and I didn't personally look this up on the internet because I don't do that, but a commercial person that owns rental property, all they have to do is provide a shell, and you have to keep up everything, which is where the CAM fees come in.
Right.
And
the electricity, the wiring, and the walls. Everything.
Well, my thought process would be is if you're responsible for the maintenance on the property and they're charging you a fee, then they become responsible for the property, don't they?
One would think.
According to the real estate laws.
Otherwise, if they're charging you a fee to maintain the property and they're not maintaining the property, they would be in breach of contract, whereas the contract states that you are required, you should be able to hire whoever you want to do the maintenance.
At our own expense.
At your own expense.
Think, yeah.
Or do it yourself.
I think your answer here is what you said before, is that you're going to have to look into an attorney that's going to help you, a real estate attorney of some sort. Yeah,
that's the answer. But at the same time, you guys have backing and support if you're going to have to move.
We're very blessed. We are.
Yes.
Right. Not everybody's going to maybe have that.
But, no, they aren't.
Yeah. Well, it's an unfortunate situation. I can't see how that the new car dealership is going to be successful there myself, just because I think that the revenue is getting, the pool is getting shallower and shallower.
Yeah, I'd imagine that Crown Motors is uber excited about that prospect.
Oh, absolutely. But you know something really interesting about that area right there? The Volkswagen dealership from Chico came in and put in a shop. Did anybody notice it's gone? I mean, the building's still there. They're there, but they're not, because so many cars were stolen off their lots that they couldn't afford to stay there. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
So let's put another one so they can steal more cars.
Exactly.
And put people out of business.
Well, I think a lot of this, like I said, it's hard to get a business in Reading, so maybe it's a little time to do a little follow the money and figure out who expedited this and why.
And with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call in and have a question or comment for these ladies, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy way. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are unseen, sadly in search of and one step in back of themselves. And there's no food and dream.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Carol Ferguson of the Record Searchlight. Let's find out what impact being sold to Gannett Newspaper Corporation will have on the Record Searchlight. Is it moving right, left, or still trying to stay in the center? All of this Monday, along with much more political and social commentary. Monday, here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore for Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205.
or you can check out schedule information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
There's country in the air at the Shasta District Fair, jam-packed with entertainment for all. Wednesday's Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day is free admission to kids 12 and under with Canada's Country Music High Valley Concert, brought to you by Wildcard Brewing Company. Thursday is Record Searchlight Action News Now, Senior Day with free admission 62 and over, and the music of Journey Revisited, sponsored by Sierra Nevada Brewery. Friday's Members First Credit Union Grandstand Concert features country music's Jackson Mickelson, sponsored by Miller Coors. And Saturday, it's Tri-County Bank's annual Junior Livestock Auction, plus Budweiser and Bud Light present action-packed go-kart, auto, and boat races. Organized chaos at its best. All this plus hypnotist Chris Mabry, World of Reptiles exhibit, strolling comedy and magic show, local bands, camel rides, talent show, and much more. Carnival rides, fair food, and plenty of free entertainment with paid fare admission when the Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 15th. Advanced carnival and admission tickets save you as much as 30% and must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home to Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Hey, I was liking that, Bob. What happened?
Space bar.
Oh, those darn space bars. Anyway, we're back here, and we're talking to the ladies from, what's the name of your business again?
Classique Cafe.
I guess I'm not spoken French. Huh? No, I mean
Millie and Kathy.
Millie and Kathy from Classique Cafe. Classique. Mm-hmm. Just like.
And they do everything in the community for veterans. I mean, these ladies work hard.
All right. Very good. So we were doing a lot of talk over the break about this and that and who's the manager and all that kind of stuff. So I guess, I mean, where are we at here? What, you know, what well, do we need to talk about? But we got a caller on
yeah,
the line.
Yeah, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Jimmy. Do you got a question or comment for the ladies this morning?
Yeah, I love Classic Cafe. It's a great place. But a quick tidbit is that the old Wildas just moved out on Court and Placer right there.
Yeah.
And even though it's about... you know, two-thirds the size of Classic Cafe, would they consider moving there? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, Will has actually moved over to
Churn Creek.
On Churn Creek. I know the owner pretty well. That building is open over there on, Court Street?
Yeah, Court and Placer. Yeah.
Anything would be open but we're waiting for the veterans because they've got something in mind and we don't know what it is.
Right. Right. Well, again, and that's Brett Spears' place, and he moved over there on Churn Creek, and I talked to him a week or two ago, and I guess it was the best move he ever made, he's saying, too, because his business got bigger and quite a bit better. So maybe
he was going to open two locations, and it worked better for him to go over there.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's... might be the ticket. I mean, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Do your search and your attorney and everything you're going to try to do to see what your recourse is. But maybe in the long run, it's not a bad deal. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's on the books. We don't know either. We're just waiting to see.
It'll probably work out for the best.
We have a year's lease, so they can't do anything to us for a year.
So you have a little bit of time.
Yeah, we've got time.
Oh, okay.
But the biggest thing is just the way they came in, this management company and the owner and kind of...
what they're doing to everybody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
what else we got?
Things that make you go, hmm.
So after the fundraiser, I wanted to touch upon this. You guys are doing really good with your equipment, and that all turned out really good. We didn't really hear,
We got a new stove, a new fryer, a new refrigerated prep table, a hot water heater. We didn't need one when it happened, but ours went out and started pouring water out of the bottom shortly after the event, so we got one.
Money.
Yeah, it's no fun when your hot water heater goes. They never give you any warning.
No, they don't. Anyway, we got a freezer, a commercial freezer, a Coke machine, and an ice machine.
Wow. All brand new. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's actually a Pepsi machine.
Yes, we've always been Coke, now we're Pepsi.
And then also, I would like you guys to kind of give us a little bit of background about yourselves. How you got started doing this, why you got started doing the cafe, and the reasoning behind it 30 years ago. What was going on in your lives 30 years ago?
Well, we had had another cafe briefly, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Almost killed us. We was working about 20 hours a day. And not making any money.
Mm.
We were too far out of town. And on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, knock them dead. But the rest of the week, we were dead. And after 2.5 years, we walked away from that. And we went 18 months without doing anything. And then once you get in the restaurant business, it gets in your blood.
Yeah, it can.
We just had to open another one.
And so why are you in such support of the veterans? What got you guys started with the pictures on the wall and the information? What got you started with that?
One of our customers, Greg Wares, on a 4th of July, Millie's daughter Robin got us a big lighted flag, and it had squares in between the lights. And Greg Wares said, patriotic as you guys are, you should put veterans' pictures in those squares. So we went to...
Another
radio station and paid them to put out over the air that we were collecting veterans' pictures. And they started coming in 5x7s, 11x13. So they didn't fit in the squares, so we just started putting the photos up. And as the wall started looking just bare with sparse pictures, when 9/11 hit, everybody became patriotic. The same radio station that we had paid over $400 to advertise came in and interviewed us for nothing and put out over the air preceding the news 3 times a day, and that's when all the pictures started coming in.
Yeah,
but it's just snowballed since then.
I don't know how many is on the walls down there, but
we have no idea.
There's a lot down there, and if you haven't been down there, I mean, you could just spend a good day just looking at pictures and going over the information you guys have on the walls down there.
Well, we have the stories of a lot of the people, and if you have time, and we have time, we can tell you the stories too. And there's some phenomenal stories on that wall.
You need to write those stories down.
Yeah. You know, you're right, we do.
Yeah, that would be really cool if you could do that. During the break, Kathy, you said something about there was a veteran in trouble or in really bad shape and was needing some help. Maybe the community could help out. You want to?
John Olson and his wife, LaVon, he's almost 92. She's almost 91. And he has kidney cancer, very serious. And he's needing help with his yard and his cleaning inside. LaVon, he calls her Miss America. They've been married for many, many, many years. And just beautiful people. And
World War II Marine, South Pacific.
Wow.
Anyway, we can provide a lot of the food, but we need help sometimes getting it over to him because it's during working hours. And so if anybody would want to help us deliver the food or, you know, sign up to help clean, do yard work, they've got all their own equipment. They just can't use it.
Right. And if somebody was interested in helping out with that,
come by the cafe.
Just come by the cafe?
Yes.
And what's your hours down there?
6 to 2, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So.
And our phone number is 530-244-4939.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you guys coming in. I've been wanting to have you guys on for a long time and kind of get your story out there. So.
Yeah, and if you've never been to the Classy Cafe, you're missing out.
Yeah, and the food's great mm-hmm. down there. I mean, these ladies, work hard. They even do, I belong to, you know, several different groups, and they'll even come in the evening and provide meals for us for our meetings, which is, that's a lot, since they're starting in the morning, and you guys are still cooking at 6, 7 o'clock at night for us.
On June 25th, the Seawolves will be in town, and they always come to the restaurant every year, and we have a big dinner for them, and they're traveling from all over the United States to be here. One of their own is buried out at the cemetery, and they have a service out there. And Father Westling usually is here to do the service. He's living in a home down, assisted living military home in Fairfield now. And so he won't be able to come up. So they're going to go down there and see him. But they're only coming in on a Saturday this year, which has never happened before. And so we're going to be open that night for them. For dinner, or well, we're not sure yet when they're going to get in town. It could be lunch or dinner. We don't know. They're going to get a hold of us, but we'll be doing a big dinner for them. We're looking forward to seeing them again this year.
That's cool. And if you guys need help, people can stop by and volunteer for that event or any other event.
And we know where the AMVET ladies live.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys know where a lot of people live.
We have all the support in the world. Our veterans, all of our customers.
We're very blessed.
All
of
you guys.
Oh, well, we appreciate having you guys. That's for sure. Like I say, there's never been an event that we've asked you guys to come in or help out with that you've ever turned anybody down that I know of.
We don't do that.
No, no matter what. So, thank you again. We appreciate you guys coming in, and have a wonderful day. And keep us posted on what's going on with the property, and if you guys find something, the new location, and what people might be able to do to help with your move and everything, getting the word out where
that.
You guys' mm-hmm. new location will be and everything. So
we can't thank you enough.
Oh, not
nice
a problem.
To meet both of you.
All right, thank you. Just have a great day.
Nice meeting you guys. You bet.
Okay. Do we need to go to a break real quick, Bob? Okay, go ahead and go to a break, and we'll come back and we'll do some stuff.
I'll be stopping by. Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
In your eyes, see the thorn twist in your side. I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate, on a bed of nails she makes me wait, and I wait without you, with or without you,
people think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Marvel as an owl flies inches from your head, see a porcupine up close, and try to dig faster than a badger at Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show at Turtle Bay. Enjoy a fun-filled, educational wildlife show where animals showcase their natural behaviors in a captivating and inspiring atmosphere. Walk on the Wild Side is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson Trust. Catch the show at 11 a.m. and noon, Tuesdays through Sundays at Turtle Bay. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, I'm Mary McCurdy, and I represent Properties by Merit. We are a locally owned full-service real estate firm. Whether you are buying or selling, I can help. Call me today at 949-1550 or check out my website at marymccurdy.com. At Properties by Merit, we make your dreams become reality. Call or text me at 949-1550.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Mind Radio. Yeah, that's Fleetwood Mac there, and I'm trying to play some uplifting music today, stuff that makes it feel better, despite the ongoing world economy collapsing. Just a couple stories we want to cover here before we get to our guest. The Swiss have rejected a free income plan, and you can go and look this up. Just look up, the Swiss voters reject a proposal for guaranteed income at $2,563 a month for every adult in the country. So opponents of the proposal said it would cost too much, weaken the economy, and would undermine the social cohesion. That's another story from Reuters. There's no doubt that those arguments are sound. I mean, it would do all that, but they are the wrong reason to reject the plan. And so let's assume for a moment that the guaranteed income would have none of those damaging effects. Let's examine or imagine that it would cost nothing because it would stimulate the economy and thereby produce new tax revenue to cover the subsidies that would strengthen the social cohesion. Okay, if we understand the principles and the foundation of liberty, and if we place a higher value on freedom than affordability, economy, and social cohesion, then we must reject the plan that is based on coercion, redistribution of wealth, even if it is said to produce desirable results. The rationale for this is simple. A just state derives its powers from the people it serves. It cannot have any authority that it does not receive from its citizens. Citizens do not have the right to forcibly take money or other forms of property from one person and give it to another, no matter how worthy the cause. Therefore, we cannot delegate that power to the elected representatives. You cannot give that which you do not have. Therefore, the state does not have the right to redistribute wealth, no matter how popular the cause. And that's the crux of the matter, because if you start delegating a right that you don't have, in other words, you're giving a right to the state to steal money from one person and give it to another, and that's really all this is stealing, then what you've done is you've given total control to the state to do whatever it wants with whatever property that exists. And that's the problem. And if you give that right to them, then pretty soon you don't have a state or you don't own any property. What you have is a state of slavery where the government owns everything. Gee, it sounds sort of like California is becoming right now, and the nation. So even though the Swiss were swayed by the wrong reasons, you can salute them for their independence and strength of character to turn down a free lunch. That's from G. Edward Griffin. So, I mean, how often do we have to see this in history before we start to wake up and realize that there is no free lunch, you can't redistribute the wealth, and you can't do it through government? And if you're funding this stuff with it's coercion, it's extortion, it's no longer charity. And I don't care what the cause is, how great and how wonderful it is, what you end up with is extortion and not charitable contributions.
That, I would say, nails it right on the head.
So we got about a minute to go to the top of the hour. We've got our guest in here with us now, Patrick Jones of Jones's Fort, and as opposed to Fort Jones, which is another place. And
it's close enough, though. It's all right.
It might be that it's going to be Jones's Fort pretty soon, the way the laws are going.
Well, I was hoping for the state of Jones, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, hey, show up to the convention. You never know. But things are getting ugly in California with the laws. The California powers that be are out of control. But we'll talk about that all in the next hour.
And you've been listening to Sovereign Minds, KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. It is the worst mass shooting in American history, and it happened early this morning. A gunman wielding an assault-type rifle and a handgun opened fire inside a crowded homosexual nightclub, killing at least 50 people before dying in a gunfight with SWAT officers. 53 people were hurt. Now more has been found about the gunman.
The dead shooter has been identified as Omar Sadiqi Mateen. He was an American citizen, but his parents are Afghani. He worked as a security guard and was heavily armed with an assault rifle, pistol, and other weapons. The FBI is trying to determine whether this was an act of domestic terror or an act of Islamic extremism. Connie Long reporting from Washington.
Meanwhile, doctors treating the wounded say they fear the death toll will rise as many of the victims are in critical condition. President Obama expected to address the matter with the nation in 30 minutes. The Senate is poised to take up a bill to rescue debt-ridden Puerto Rico.
The bill comes to the Senate just 3 weeks before the U.S. territory confronts a deadline to make a $2 billion payment to creditors. It's the Senate's turn to take up the measure after the House passed the bill last week. The bill would create a financial control board to monitor Puerto Rico's finances. In addition, it would allow restructuring of the $70 billion debt. The overwhelming bipartisan support for the bill in the House might bode well for passage in the Senate, but some senators still object to the bill, including New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez. He says the control board in the House's bill would take away the rights of ordinary Puerto Ricans. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Bernie Sanders says he and Hillary Clinton are set to talk Tuesday evening about her campaign and whether it reflects his progressive agenda. The meeting will follow the nation's final Democratic presidential primary in Washington, D.C. Sanders says he hasn't yet decided if he will endorse Clinton. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's crime report, imagine finding out that someone has sold your home without you even knowing. That's exactly what happened to Robert.
Tonight, what do you get when you combine identity theft with mortgage fraud? House stealing, a disturbing new crime that's fast becoming a national epidemic.
In the fight against mortgage fraud and house stealing, there's finally some good news. A national fraud alert service has been established to alert homeowners when someone may be trying to scam you out of your home. It's called Home Title Lock, and right now they're letting the public try it for free and check your title for free to make sure you're not already a victim. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. The FBI warns that mortgage fraud is one of the fastest-growing white-collar crimes in America. So far, Home Title Lock is the only national alert service for mortgage fraud and house stealing. That's why they're letting you try it for free and check your title for free to make sure you're not already a victim. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com for details. Again, HomeTitleLock.com.
Authorities in Florida say the gunman who shot and killed a singer who rose to fame after appearing on NBC's The Voice traveled to Orlando from another Florida city specifically to attack her and then fatally shot himself. Orlando Police Chief John Mina says the suspect, identified as 27-year-old Kevin Loibel of St. Petersburg, didn't appear to know Christina Grimmie personally. She was shot Friday and died Saturday morning. The 22-year-old from New Jersey finished third during season 6 of The Voice back in 2014. The family of an unarmed black college football player who was fatally shot by a white North Texas police officer is asking prosecutors to refile charges in the case after a grand jury declined to take any action. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the attorney who represents the family of 19-year-old Christian Taylor has sent a letter to Tarrant County District Attorney Sharon Wilson. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The upcoming U.S. presidential election in November is apparently increasing migration via Mexico.
Illegal migrants have been stirred into action by Donald Trump's pledge concerning mass deportations, but much more about his promise to build a 2,000-mile ultra-secure border wall if elected president. U.S. and Mexican authorities report a 122% increase in undocumented families, principally from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, detained at the border from October to April, and 75% more minors found there. Yet detection on Mexican territory is low, with authorities claiming they're critically under-resourced and can't cope with what's rapidly transforming into a deluge of desperate people. James Beers, Mexico.
Today is Sunday, June the 12th, a birthday for a number of prominent people, including former President George H.W. Bush. He is 92 years old today. Meanwhile, singer Vic Damone celebrates his 88th. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Yeah, Jordy LaForge.
Okay, way too much fun in the studio. Yeah, playing around with their headphones.
We're putting on our Rally headphones, and yeah. Patrick put his down over his eyes, and he looked like Jordy LaForge there for
one
a second.
One of these days we're going to have to release the blooper reel of what we talk about during the breaks.
It's going to be a long...
Yeah, it's going to be on CD because we can't broadcast it.
I thought we were doing that see no evil, hear no evil thing.
You know? Oh, yeah, that was it. Okay, yeah. Listen, we got to queue up this. Let's listen to Judge Jeanine over the weekend. I think it's very important what she said on her opening statements. If you hadn't heard it, I think it's a great thing. I don't know. We need to listen to the whole thing. I don't think we need to listen to the whole thing. But, you know, I'll cut you off, Bob. But go ahead, because I think that she said something that was very informative. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello and welcome to Justice. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro. Thanks for being with us tonight. Now to my opening statement. Hillary Clinton broke the law, and she's positive that there's absolutely no chance she'll be indicted, confidently announcing this week that nothing will come of the FBI investigation. She knows for sure she's going to get away with it. In my opinion, here's why. The President of the United States is complicit. He was aware of her private email server and actually communicated with her on it. What am I talking about? Here's Hillary's response when asked if there was any possibility of an indictment.
I will repeat what I said. That is not going to happen. There is no basis for it.
Hillary, how do you know? Did you speak to the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch? Did you speak with any Department of Justice official? We know you didn't speak with the FBI. We know you refused to speak with the Inspector General. So what makes her so sure? Follow me, folks, and read the tea leaves. Within 24 hours of Hillary saying she was absolutely certain she would not be indicted, Barack Obama endorses her for President of the United States. No real surprise, since last year, he said, her actions were careless but innocent. And, of course, that there's classified and then there's classified.
I don't think it posed a national security problem. And, you know, she made a mistake. She's acknowledged it.
Query. The president has repeatedly said there is and will be no political interference in the Clinton criminal investigation. That he doesn't talk with the attorney general or the FBI about pending cases. So then, how would he know? And how did he know 8 months ago that nothing would come of this? Why would he double down this week and endorse someone for president who was under an active federal criminal investigation, the first time ever in the history of the United States? So if the president is sure, and she's sure, what the hell has the FBI been doing for the last 14 months? Spinning its wheels? Engaging in a charade for the sake of appearances? Wasting our taxpayers' dollars on almost 100 FBI agents? If nothing will come of this, why would the feds give Brian Pagliano, her IT guy, immunity? You only get immunity when you proffer evidence of a crime. Why was a Romanian hacker who said that hacking into Hillary's emails on that private server was so easy that it was like an open orchid on the internet? Why was he extradited here to face further charges? Why are the witnesses who were being interviewed interviewed in chronological order in classic law enforcement fashion, ending with those closest to the target. Uma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, the only others on that unsecured server. Uma, of course, being paid by the State Department, the Clinton campaign, a Clinton-connected corporation, Tenio, and, bingo, the Clinton Foundation. Look, the federal investigation is still active. The FBI director appointed by Barack Obama is one of the most ethical people in Washington, with a 10-year term irrespective of who's president. But the FBI does not have access to and cannot present to a grand jury. They simply investigate and make a referral to the Department of Justice. Once the referral is made, justice decides whether to go forward. Obama could simply tell Loretta Lynch, his Department of Justice appointee who serves at his pleasure, either to not put it in the grand jury or make a presentation and then not ask for an indictment. And folks, you'll never know. Because if anyone talks about it, they violate grand jury secrecy and they go to jail. Now, if Loretta Lynch were true to her charge, she would have sought an independent prosecutor months ago when her boss went on national television and prejudged a federal criminal investigation as one, quote, ginned up by politics, which I imagine wasn't well received by career, hardworking, diligent FBI agents. But the telltale was this week with Hillary shot across the bow without an ounce of humility. She says in her ever-changing narrative,
everybody in the department knew that I was emailing from a personal address. Hundreds of people knew it. People around the government knew it.
Translation, Hillary threatens the president. According to reports, there were 18 emails sent by Hillary from her unsecure server to the president of the United States. And the president replied to at least two of them. Translation, Barack, you knew the one way that I communicated. And if I'm indicted, you'll be my first witness because you knew in real time as Secretary of State that I was communicating on a private server. You knew, as did everyone. I dare you, Barack. Now, if any of you are still skeptics, try this on. She was not emailing the president about her yoga classes or her wedding dress. The sad news is the fix is in, folks, and I just told you why. But then you say, Judge, how could the fix be in if, as you say, FBI Director Comey is such an honorable guy? I say it because there would be a constitutional crisis in this country if an indictment were to happen. And Jim Comey, as ethical as he is, respects the United States government too much to let that happen.
Okay.
And that's my open.
Pretty.
Tell me what you think on my Facebook page or Twitter.
Pretty powerful stuff there. Constitutional crisis. I think we're already there, number one. So I'm not sure I'm buying that one. But, wow. I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement, what she's saying here, because, you know, the president is complicit, and they know it. And nobody wonders why nobody's getting prosecuted. Maybe that's why they're afraid of Trump. Maybe if Trump gets in there, people start getting prosecuted.
Well, it'd be nice to see.
I don't know. Either that or Putin is going to send all his emails that he's got out of the server.
Yeah, that's. I've heard from some reliable sources that Vladimir Putin is in possession of Hillary Clinton's emails and has threatened to release them.
So what are they doing, running out the clock? I mean, and then hoping Hillary gets back in there? Because if Hillary gets back in, then
they can't prosecute her.
Nothing's going to happen.
Yep. All they can do is impeach. They can't prosecute.
Can I ask everybody listening a question and to stop and think about this? What happens in this country if Hillary Clinton gets elected?
Well,
Think about it.
Jeez. I'm not sure I want to. It sounds like, you know, we need that Bill Murray line about, you know, Ghostbusters, dogs and cats living in sin, you know, apocalyptic, you know, I mean, but it's true. We are going into a constitutional crisis right now, you know, of epic proportions. The fact that we don't follow it anymore. I mean, when you got a local judge that interprets the Constitution and says, "Hey, I don't interpret that way," even though the English language is pretty plain that any controversy over $20, you know, you get a jury trial. I mean, what good is the Constitution if we're not willing to enforce it? If people aren't willing, yeah, let's just
stand up for it.
Let's just stand in line for the free phones.
Well, and one of the first things that's going to happen if Hillary is elected is that the makeup of the Supreme Court is going to change from what we had
yes.
to a much more liberal court. And as we know, there isn't a lot of justice at the Supreme Court level when it's right down party lines, and that's going to shift. And that's going to make out west here, the Ninth Circuit Court, and their very liberal decisions stand up against United States Supreme Court scrutiny. And so it really has great effect for everybody in the United States. And that one justice appointment will tilt the balance of what is constitutional in the United States. And so many things then will be ran forward. So I see it as very disastrous. In fact, something in the news right now, and I know Sheriff Tom Bozinko might come in a little bit later, and we had an issue this week where the paper has done, and most of the media has done, a very poor job on announcing what's happened with a recent Ninth Circuit decision.
On the concealed carry.
On concealed carry. And so most people are assuming that the paper prints it as you're going to lose your right to carry. And so what happened, if we back up a few years ago, a gentleman in San Diego County applied for a concealed weapon permit, and he was denied. His sheriff said that he does not have a good enough reason. And so he sued, and that court agreed with him in that you cannot deny, a sheriff cannot deny a person for not having a good enough reason. Now, that was appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court,
and they
overturned it. So essentially, we're going back to the way that it was. It's going to be up to your sheriff. Now, we're very fortunate here to have a sheriff like Tom Bozinko that issues permits and tries hard to make sure that people that want a permit can get a permit. However, if you're in the Bay Area, like Anacostia County or Alameda County, your sheriff there is simply going to say you do not have a good enough reason, that your life is not as important as, say, some big shot. And so that's where we're at now. Now, the question now is, we know the decision. In fact, the Ninth Circuit Court went on to say that you do not have a right to carry in public, which defies the Constitution.
Yeah,
I
mean, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. It's pretty freaking simple, if you ask me.
Pretty simple, and the Ninth Circuit has said, no, you do not have that right. And so this case is ripe to go on to the United States Supreme Court. The problem is we can't do it now. It's 4-4. We have to wait till after the election. If Hillary is elected, they won't even push it. We won't want it to go to the Supreme Court because we're not going to get the response that's correct.
Well, then who's ever going to get the first judge up there? And I don't have a whole lot of faith in the establishment Republicans to, you know, vet a Supreme Court judge that's going to be anything but, you know, part of the status quo.
So for all those folks out there that have valid concealed weapon permits, in the north up here, and particularly for Shasta County, the sheriff is going to continue, and I'm sure as he comes on later, he'll reiterate that he's going to continue to have the same processes that he has today in place. And I think in most of the northern counties up here, you're going to see the same. However, for people in other counties, your sheriff may choose a different path, and he may simply deny you because he doesn't feel you have a good enough reason. But for most of us up here, it's not going to change a thing. It would only change unless the sheriff changed, which sheriffs will change, and the incoming sheriff, if he had a new policy towards the issuance of CCW. So it's going to continue to be with your sheriff. And, you know, that's the nice thing about having an elected sheriff is if we don't like the sheriff,
get rid of him.
Then you can vote him out.
Right.
And maybe get a sheriff in that believes in the Second Amendment and issues those permits.
Could we, as the citizens of the county, enact an ordinance that requires a shall issue clause?
Well, you know, I mean, you look at what San Francisco has done, and they've done all kinds of things within their county, and I would say I'd love to see that, where because we do have a constitutional right. I don't care what the Ninth Circuit says. They're wrong.
Right.
Their opinion is well known that they're super liberal, and they don't believe and stand. They think the Constitution is a changing document, and it's not. I believe, more simply, that you have the constitutional right, and I would go one step further to say you shouldn't even need a permit.
No.
You should be able to carry concealed or open because you're a citizen of the United States and you have a constitutional right to do so. Mm-hmm. That's the way it ought to be.
Well, I'm looking at a quote here from Thomas Jefferson. No free man shall ever be disbarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny and government. Isn't that what we're talking about here?
And if people think, well, that wouldn't work, Jones is crazy to think if you just could carry, well, take a look at a neighboring state like Arizona, because guess what? That's exactly what they do. And they don't have the kind of problems that we have.
No.
If you're a resident of Arizona, you can carry concealed or exposed, and I think it really does reduce crime, and I think the statistics prove it.
Well, the other alternative here is to run for state office in the state of California because they voted 28-8 Wednesday to exempt themselves from these pointless gun control laws that apply to the rest of the populace. So all you got to do is just become, you know, one of the Acaldes, and then pretty soon, none of the laws applies to you anyway because there's two sets. There's one for them and one for us because we're the peons, and, you know, we don't need to protect ourselves from them, do we?
Well, Mark, as you know, the streets will be safer, our police will be more efficient, and the world will follow our lead with full gun registration.
Adolf Hitler.
And that was Adolf's, one of his famous quotes from
the
1930s.
Yeah.
And we're there now. In fact, we have a multitude of bills. I'll talk about those here in this hour, passing the Senate and the Assembly, and we have more to come. And one of the bills is a confiscation. It's a test bill that has huge ramifications. They're going to say that something you own today that you've owned for me my entire life, practically,
right,
that you are not safe with that magazine that holds more than 10 rounds, and you must turn it in or face prison time and a felony conviction. And so that's a confiscation. And this, you know, and I've always told folks in the past that, hey, once you own something legally, they're not going to take it from you. Well, we're there now. We're there now with this bill, and actually with this referendum, I believe that's on the ballot. Gavin Newsom has put that on the ballot, so the voters are going to be voting on that this November. And unfortunately, with the type of people that we have in the central and southern part of the state, I suspect it's going to pass.
And if it passes, how are they going to know that you have it or not have it? Is one of my questions. Are they going to start knocking on everybody's door and asking?
Well, they don't need to do that. And exactly, you know, and history has already taught us in the past. And,
well, nobody's
and
gonna
Hitler didn't need to do this either. Now, Hitler did knock on a few doors. And I can tell you the Department of Justice has knocked on a few doors in California as well. But simply, they make an example of those that they catch. When you're out in the field hunting or target shooting or whatever, and you're caught in possession of any magazine, detachable magazine, over 10 rounds, you will be arrested, and you will have your day in court, and you will be, you know, in some counties, you will absolutely be found guilty, and you will be sent to prison. Now, as people are made examples of this, then the public is taught a very valuable lesson. If you're caught in possession, you will go to prison, and people will start changing their habits, and they will start moving out of state. They will get the magazines out of state, or they will turn them in. They will do those kinds of things. For a few of us, we feel very strongly on this point, and it puts a lot of law-abiding people in a very bad position, and it could make them criminals. And so that's sad, but that's where we're at today.
Actually, I don't think it makes us criminals at all. I think it makes the government the criminals, you know, because they're not following the Constitution and the law of the land as it was written, intended, or put out there. So the criminals are in the government, not us. They're supposed to be, you know, the rights of the governed, you know, are supposed to be, you know, the ones that are directing their edicts, not the rights of the government against the people.
Now, the significance of this is that once they deem this magazine unsafe, and that's going to be a new term you're going to be hearing a lot about, the government saying this or that is unsafe. You can't have this. It's unsafe. And if this passes, constitutional scrutiny as lawful, then you know what's going to happen next, that firearms are going to be classified as unsafe, certain mm-hmm. firearms
sure.
to start,
yep.
and that you have to turn them in. I mean, it is the perfect test scenario, and they're testing the waters, and that's why this November's election is so important for us in California.
Well, our sheriff, I don't believe, will enforce those laws.
I think he'll have to. I think if it passes, I think what you'll find is that a true constitutional sheriff would probably say otherwise, but it's a question for Tom. Obviously, he's the sheriff, and he's the supreme law of the county.
Right.
And it's a question for him. And
something he better figure out. Cause
to me, it's very simple, though. Under the 10th Amendment, I reserve the right to nullify any law that violates my constitutional rights, which this certainly does.
Right.
And the Supreme Court itself has upheld the right of the individual to nullify a law.
Well, not only that. I mean, there's jury nullification here as well. There's all kinds of things that are in play that should be in consideration. But, you know, I get the feeling the Gestapo, Jerry mm-hmm. Brown up there in Sacramento, could give a crap one about what we think or the Constitution. They don't care. I mean, so I believe that this is going to come down to some sort of a fight at some point.
Well, it's time. And, of course, we have other bills, too. In fact, they have the bullet button bill. I believe that's 1664, and that one's moving forward. And what that's going to say is for all the people that have an AR-15 that or an AK or any of the type of guns that use a bullet button, which is a device that changes how the magazine is detached from the firearm. There's nothing on the physical body that could allow you to detach the magazine easily. You would need to use a tool to remove the magazine.
Like a grinder?
a simple point of a bullet would work, and thus the name bullet button. Now, that is going, they're going to ban the possession of that one little part. And so they're going to give you the chance then, of course, because this is a benevolent government, they're going to give you the opportunity to register those guns with the state of California as assault weapons, and you have to give the address where those guns will be stored. They have to always be there, and law enforcement, any law enforcement agency, has the right then to come and inspect that firearm at that address in any 24-hour period.
Well, that is, of course, that is, of course, unless you join the new party, the Middle Finger of Defiance Party. And, so we've got a caller on the line.
We do. Good morning, Terry. Do you have a question or comment for Mr. Jones?
I do. First of all, Title 18 of the United States Code, Title 18, Section 241 and Section 242, and especially Section 242, states that anybody using their elected office or appointed office that deprives you in any way, shape, or form of your constitutional rights is subject to federal prison and subject to being persecuted or prosecuted under the law. That's Title 18, folks, United States Code. Title 18, Section 241 and 242. I'm not going to read them, but they're fairly short, and you could read them yourself. The other thing is that, first of all, Patrick, you know, you're a patriot. Thank you so much for what you do, for what you did in serving everybody and what you do just helping us out with this stuff. But, you know, the real deal is that, and Red and Wynn said it this morning, you know, we just don't believe we're in charge. We don't believe that we're in charge. We, you know, how much do we believe in the Constitution? Mark said it this morning. And Mark, my good friend, you're right. You know, I'm getting kind of tired of metaphorically speaking too.
Yeah, I think we're at the point where it's like the pitchfork and torches are going to start coming out for real here pretty quick.
Well, and to prove your case, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentation of the indictment of the grand jury. So, you know, what about the Bundy guys? What about people that are just being held up because of what? The Patriot Act. Right now, there's the Supreme Court passed a law that the drug-sniffing dog, even though they're wrong 80% of the time, I'll say that again, even though they're wrong 80% of the time, that gives the police officer probable cause to stop you. And a police officer can lie. I had a CHP lie about me not wearing a seatbelt. He pulled me over, didn't give me a ticket, basically, because there was no, I mean, it was ridiculous, right in the middle of town. The point is that we have a situation now where we have a government that's out of control. And whether people want to believe it or not, they're out of control. We have a president that's a traitor. We have a woman running for president who is not only a traitor, but a woman running for president who's a criminal.
Well, you could say that about the White House, too.
What are we
going to
do about this stuff?
Well, yeah.
Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate those kind words. And you're right. And, you know, the real question for most Americans today is in the strict adherence to the Constitution. And I think if you posed that question to most Americans today, what would be the response? And I think sometimes it's shocking what some people think, because the power of the media, what they keep preaching to the public over and over, and as you get into the big cities, you start hearing it more and more, and people are not valuing the power and the strength of the United States Constitution. It's the finest document that's ever been created, and we're giving it away, piece by piece.
Maybe we should go to a break before I throw something through the wall.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567, and our guest is Patrick Jones. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Or hip pain, learn how to stop hurting and start moving again. Providence Orthopedic Institute invites you to a free talk on June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Mako Technology of Providence may be the right solution for your knee or hip joint pain. Life is better in motion, so come to Providence Orthopedic Institute's free talk Friday, June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Register at 888-907-0915 or at providence.org/jointrobot.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Carol Ferguson of the Record Searchlight. Let's find out what impact being sold to Gannett Newspaper Corporation will have on the Record Searchlight. Is it moving right, left, or still trying to stay in the center? All of this Monday, along with much more political and social commentary. Monday, here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors. Russell Cleaning Services, both residential and commercial cleaning. Shasta Athletic Club, the place for fitness in Reading. Revolve Solar, save on those energy bills. And Authority Property Management, the pros in property management. Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Radio, you guys better get the eye of the tiger going out there, because you know something? We're getting to the point where this is not games anymore. I mean, I'm not sure what the spark is that sets the explosion off, but that's where we're headed. And you know something? You guys better just start thinking in that terms in that direction, because you know, we're just talking about the state of Jefferson and the upcoming I don't know, what will we
call
it?
Formation assembly.
Formation assembly for it's basically we're going back to the founders' blueprint, and we're going to form our own government parallel to the proper government that has the best interest of the people in mind. You know that you know the consent of the governed, not the consent of the Akalde high-powered priests up in the capital down there. You know, you got Brown. You know, gave health care out to immigrants this last week. Signed a bill. You know, exempts themselves from pointless gun control laws that the rest of us have to, you know, come in compliance with or be punished.
And for folks wanting to know a little bit more about all the bills moving forward, you can go online. You can take a look at Gun Owners of California. They do a pretty good job, California Rifle and Pistol as well. But take a look there. You're going to see a lot of assembly bills and Senate bills. And, again, there's going to be more to come. You're going to see this year stand out above most years. We could have as many as 25, 26 new anti-gun laws. And another law that's coming up that's in the assembly now, moving forward still, is a law that says you can only buy one gun a month. So essentially the government is telling you you can buy 12 guns a year. And that's if you do it on every 30-day period exactly. And so it makes it very difficult. Now, we knew this was coming because the government always starts, California always starts with something a little bit less restrictive. So a few years ago, they said you could only buy one new handgun a month. You could buy as many long guns as you wanted, and private party transfers were exempt. Now, not the case. New bill, new law coming, says you can only buy one gun a month. And what that means is the government is telling you and controlling you as to how many firearms. If I just happened to come into a couple million dollars and I wanted to finally get a good gun collection, I really couldn't do it. It would take me years and years, and I would have to pay a $25 background check for every single firearm that I do. and you follow the money, and you'll see just how corrupt this government is. And does it cost $25 to do a background check? Absolutely not. Does it take 10 days? Nope. In fact, in California, a federal judge ruled the 10-day waiting period unconstitutional. But, of course, our attorney general here, Ms. Harris, says too bad, and we have to litigate it. So very difficult to even get justice, even when we have a federal judge on our side. But here's the government telling you how many guns you can buy. And I promise you this, that if you allow that to happen, soon they will say you can only buy one gun in a six-month period. And soon they will say you can only own six guns. And if you don't think that's possible, take a look at Germany today. In Germany today, you're allowed by government laws to own eight. That's it. And again, if we allow our government to do this, this is the direction that they're going. And they're doing it right now. So the battle is right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not 10 or 5 years in the future. It's right now. So as a gun owner, you have some serious concerns with what's happening, and we have to do something about it, or they will consume us all, and we won't be gun owners, or we'll have to leave or do something else. But we are under attack. The Constitution is being shredded. The Second Amendment means nothing to them. The Ninth Circuit is violating the Constitution, and laws are streaming in now, and they're not going to stop. I wish people could go down to Sacramento. When I was on city council and mayor for the city of Redding back in 2010, we'd go down to Sacramento a couple times a year, and absolutely disgusting to see the violations to the Constitution and rights taken from you every day. Every day. And they're passing 1,000 laws a year. This is 1,000 things you can't do anymore. And you can't be free under this. You can't. There is no way. You can't lose 1,000 rights a year and be free. So how much is your freedom worth? What is it worth to you? What is that retirement check coming into you when you're not free? What does that house mean to you when you're not free? I say those things don't mean much compared to your freedom.
Well, because they won't be there very long, because once you lose your freedom, then the government has the right to take everything, private mm-hmm. property. When there's no private property rights, then that's basically what the Constitution is crafted on, the government respecting private property rights. Once you lose that, then it will only be a short time before you are poor and poor and poorer, and then you don't have any property rights. So your standard of living looks like Venezuela after a while.
And once you lose them, you can't get them back.
No,
it's not like they come back real easy.
Not without a fight.
Yeah, even
never
with a fight.
Yeah, they voluntarily
surrender
power.
Yeah, it's not like they come back in the force that they were originally.
Now, also, a lot of people are thinking that Governor Brown is not such a bad guy when it comes to gun laws. But I tell you this. Just because he vetoed a few bills in 2013 as he was trying to get reelected, I do not believe that he is going to do that again this time around. And I don't believe you'll see that he's going to be vetoing these bills.
No, because two steps forward, one step back. You know, I mean, that's what they do. They say, oh, look, you know, we got this, and you push, and you expand the balloon out a little more, then you let a little air out, you know, let it kind of get used to it, and then you push again, and that's what they're doing.
The last round of bills, what was there, like 10 bills, and he vetoed half of them.
Correct.
And how many people went, oh God, there's 10 new anti-gun bills. They only passed 5 of them. We really dodged a bullet there.
Right.
You idiots.
Well, one of my questions is, when is a gun bill a good bill?
Never.
I'm sorry, but
never.
If it's a gun bill, how's it good?
Well, they're all, if you take a look at them, most of them, and I would say probably 99% of the time, are not allowing you to do certain things that you could do today. You can't own this, you can't do that, another tax, another right taken from you. Occasionally, they do, a Republican in Sacramento occasionally introduces a bill that tries to restore a lost right or something, and very few of those are going to be moving forward. So you're going to see a few of those, but very few. We're simply under attack, and if you want to take a look at all these Senate and Assembly bills, now some of these bills are also in the suspense file. And if you think those are dead, that is incorrect. They typically bring those back just late so they don't get a lot of criticism. And so that's a technique that they have done for many years now. They'll put a bill in a suspense file and bring it back literally in the last hour of that session. And I guarantee you that's what they'll do with a couple of these. And check them all out. You can go to the website of Gun Owners of California. You can take a look at all these Senate and Assembly bills. And there'll be more, too. And then, of course, this is just 1 year. These guys aren't stopping. The makeup of your Senate and Assembly in California is so liberal now that these bills will continue. They think they are doing good work there. They're ultra-liberal, and they believe these things are good. And they are good if you're into controlling people and taking your rights away.
And
Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about Tom Osinko a little while ago and the sheriff and his position. His position, and you were saying that, you know, some of these things he might be forced to enforce. However, you know, his stance has always been, well, I took an oath for the United States Constitution, but I also took an oath for the California Constitution. The challenge with that is that the Bill of Rights trumps everything. And even though you take an oath for a state constitution, in the Bill of Rights, you cannot enforce some of these laws. You can't do it.
Well, according to the...
And if you do, again, you know, if you're subject to a Title 18, you also could be subject to, and this is something that the officers should know, I'm not sure if it's a Title 48 or a Title 45, but it's in the 40s. I know the code number. It's 1983, which is what Rodney King did when he sued the police.
No, you're absolutely.
You can sue these people, and it's unfortunate that everything's going to court. And I want your opinion on that, because I know Sam does a good job, but everything just has to go to court because the Constitution isn't being upheld. I kind of want your take on that.
You're absolutely right, Terry. And I think back to 1994 in the passage of the unconstitutional Brady Bill, and Sheriff Richard Mack in Arizona, he was one of the very few sheriffs that stood up, and he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna sell my house. I'm gonna get an attorney. I'm gonna fight this all the way to the Supreme Court. This is unconstitutional. And I swore. In fact, as an elected official, as I have been myself, that when you raise your right hand, you swear to do only two things: to uphold the Constitution of the State of California and the Constitution of the United States. You don't swear to be nice. You don't swear to be honest. You only swear to those two things. Now, Sheriff Richard Mack, he was labeled by the national media. And he took on the Clinton administration, and he won. If you read that Brady Bill, it is absolutely unconstitutional. But they labeled Richard Mack a radical. And when he came to Reading, in fact, he's been here twice, and I met him. And I was kind of thinking, and I couldn't help think that he was radical, because that is what I heard from the national media. That's the power of the media for you, is that when they say stuff, you can't help but believe it. But I tell you what, when I went and listened to Sheriff Richard Mack, you can't find a finer patriot in the United States than Sheriff Richard Mack. And he took on, he did not violate his oath of office. He took on, and he would not comply with the Brady Bill, and he fought it, and he won. And that's what we're going to ask our sheriff to do soon, is that they have to stand with the Constitution. They can't do anything else.
Right. Yeah, you know, two things there. Number one, the Constitution of the United States is not supposed to be in conflict with the Constitution of California. They're supposed to be supporting one another. And then I think on the other side of the information from the media, let's get to the point where now nobody believes the media anymore. I just saw a poll where, you know, 92% believe Trump more than they do the media. So, you know, things are changing and evolving, and people are starting to realize we are being lied to on a constant basis from the media about all of these things. They either black it out, or they spin it, or they misreport it. So with that,
we do have Billy Bob on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob. You have a question for Patrick?
Yes, Linda, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. As usual,
I appreciate this show. Like I told you, you are my Sunday school. Again, Patrick Jones, I want to compliment you on everything you did for the city of Reading in that uphill fight that you led for years. But when are you going to run again?
Well, you know, I'm getting pretty old now. I'm 48,
Oh, yeah, you're way old, man.
I'll be 60 this year. What are you talking about?
Well, time will tell. You never leave any door closed. And, you know, so we'll see.
We need you. All right, so anyway, back to my point. your conversation is excellent. And again, our rights being diminished and usurped and ridiculed and stomped on by these libtards. You know, being a liberal is a mental disease. You know,
Red's been saying that for ever since I've known him. I mean, there's something wrong with these people.
No, they got to have more hospitals built for these people. I'll tell you. But anyway, I'm just going to, like I've done for years, I carry my weapon. I don't need no license. And I don't know what I'd be put in jail for, being an honest American citizen. But, all these rules, regulations, and all this horse crap, I'll tell you what, I'm done. I'm with Red. We'll get Jefferson going and get out from underneath this headache and get going. Okay, I'll let you guys go.
Why it's so vital what we're doing with Jefferson. And, again, we're inviting everybody to come down July 23rd. For the first formation assembly, and what we're going to do is, as we've always said in the State of Jefferson movement, we're following the process. We're exhausting every legal means that we have. We're coming up with every idea, every thought that we can to handle this civilly, handle this in a proper manner. But at the end of the day, we are not asking California's permission. We are doing them the courtesy of informing them of our departure. And July 23rd, we're going to begin to form the foundation of what we need to do to bring 21 counties together in a coherent fashion and start operating at a state level so that we have the means, the formulation, the foundation, the tools in place to begin to actively and openly begin to resist some of these things and not comply with them, to make sure that we have the proper people in place and the proper positions to protect ourselves as we move forward in those next stages of protecting ourselves and protecting our Constitution and ensuring a free state. Again, I want to be very clear, we're not asking permission to follow the Constitution of the United States of America.
Well, you know, Billy Bob was right in that. You know, what a sad thing that he is a good American, he's law-abiding and honest, and yet if he was caught, say, driving with a concealed weapon without a permit, he is going to be, you know, in front of a judge or jury. And yet, realistically, he has that constitutional right. I think too many people here in California think that we have to have a multitude of laws to keep everybody in line, and that is a absolute lie, that criminal behavior is unaffected by the multitude of these laws. These laws are being directed directly at law-abiding people, and it is a violation of your rights, every single one of them. Take a look at the states that have the most laws, they have the most criminal activity. Mm-hmm. You take a look at a place, and we'll use Arizona and their concealed weapon permits, in that they just simply say, you don't need, you're already permitted. You're an American citizen. You're permitted. The criminal's already going to carry. Why shouldn't you? You have all the rights that are granted to you under the Constitution. We don't need to permit you. You're an American. You're a citizen. You have that constitutional right. And for some reason here in California, we think we have to have permission for all these things, and we have to have permission from our government.
Nope.
And I can tell you now, our government is not here to help you.
Yes.
Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, Mark Kent had an issue to where a judge in this county usurped his constitutional rights. Yeah. He had the right to a jury.
I think it's just a standard way of doing business, Terry.
It just is. But
yeah.
The point is that we don't man, I don't know how many different ways to say this. The government is not following the Constitution. In some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, the police forces are used as a Gestapo. Sure. Does everybody get that?
Well, that's the thing. And I myself had a Shasta County Board of Supervisor, Leonard Modi, sit across the desk from me, look me in the eye, and state that the Constitution of the United States of America is too generic a document to enforce. And again, we do not need permission from anybody to enact and follow the Constitution of the United States of America. We don't even need Jefferson to do that. We need Jefferson to protect us as a group, as a society, who are choosing to exercise the Constitution, because we are stronger together than we are as individuals, and we need those formations and that foundation to protect everybody. For when they enact their illegal laws, when they conduct their illegal searches, that there are people there that will respond and deal with it as necessary to protect the people who are operating under the Constitution.
You know, and I think most of us here, I think we would all fall into a category that we're, I speak for myself, but I believe that a lot of us are law-abiding and law and order type of people. We believe that there can be some rules, basic rules that everyone can follow. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any rules whatsoever, and I think most people would agree with that. But then government goes way too far. And when you're passing 1,000 laws a year, as they do in Sacramento, it should be obvious to every law-abiding person that this is out of control and out of touch with regular working-class people. And that's what they're doing. And they haven't just started that like a year or two ago. They've been doing it for 20 years.
Well, you know, I mean, I got a thing that I'm going to talk about here in a little while, the Cloward Piven, or if you will, the Coward Proven strategy, is alive and well, and it talks about the rules for radicals, and I kind of want to go into that a little bit because, you know, the Washington Free Beacon reported that Alinsky had a greater influence on Hillary than was previously known. They've obtained copies of letters and exchanged them for the archives in the Industrial Areas Foundation, a community organizer training center founded by Alinsky and housed in the University of Texas at Austin. So Clinton met with Alinsky several times in 1968 while writing these thesis in her theory of community organizing was, you know, based on Alinsky's stuff. And when we go through this, I've got eight strategies that the Coward Proven objectives are: health care, poverty. The government must increase poverty level as much as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not resist if the government continues to provide everything for them to live.
It also parallels the Communist Manifesto.
Debt, increase the national debt to unsustainable levels. An increased debt necessitates increasing taxes, which will produce more poverty. Number four, gun control. The government must remove citizens' ability to defend themselves. Removing weapons from the hands of free people is the surest way to create a police state. Welfare, get everybody on welfare, provide all their education, remove religion from the schools, and then have class warfare. Government must create division among the people, dividing them by skin color, education, and income. Divisions will cause more discontent, making it easier for the government to tax the wealthy and support more poor. So, I mean, when you look at that...
Well, which one of those aren't we having done?
Well,
every one of them is being done.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, if you don't think your firearms are under attack, take a look at semi-auto handguns, for example, just in the state of California today. And I'll give you these two quick statistics. First, there will never be another new semi-automatic handgun ever come into California ever again because of the laws that we have today. No manufacturer in the world can get a semi-automatic handgun, any caliber, to be able to be approved for sale in the state of California. For the few that we have remaining today, we have a 93% reduction from what everybody else in the country can buy. So if you don't think your guns are under attack, we're well down that path.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
And I'm reading a little more of this article here, and his philosophy divided the world into the haves, the middle class and wealthy people, and the haves not, the poor. He took an ends justifies the means approach to power and wealth redistribution, developing the theoretical basis of community organizing. Now, The Prince was written by Machiavelli for the haves to hold power, and Alinsky wrote his book in 1971, Rules for Radicals, and it's written for the have-nots on how to take it away. Now, when you think about that for a second, is this exactly the pattern that we're in here? Is it pretty much undeniable, whether it's Obama or Hillary? Anybody who is voting for Hillary at this point is diseased mentally, because this doesn't end well down this road.
Ever. They'll probably get a free phone, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, check in the mailbox.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll be nice. While I'm hunting pigeon in the street to cook over a burn barrel like in Venezuela.
We got 1 minute till we got to go to the top of the hour, in the third hour coming up here. And I believe we've got Tom Basenko, our sheriff, in the studio. So we'll get him out here and kind of talk this over some more. But good grief, how much more evidence do we need to call a spade?
Before people start standing up, you need to stand up.
Well, and just a final note, you know, for us in California, get your guns while you can. It's changing quickly. And we're going to fight them. We're not going to stop. But You better get what you can while you can.
And thank you for coming in, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mark, Linda, and Red. Thank you, guys, for having me. Thank you for what you guys do.
And this is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington.
We're dealing with something that we never imagined and is unimaginable.
Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, in the wake of this morning's shooting at a homosexual club in the city that killed 50 people and wounded 53 more.
I've asked the governor to declare a state of emergency. We're also issuing a state of emergency for the city of Orlando so that we can bring additional resources to bear.
The gunman, identified as Omar Mateen of Port St. Lucie, Florida, died in a confrontation with a SWAT team. The incident is the worst shooting in U.S. history. It's being investigated as an act of terrorism. Some senators are pressing Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to bring up the Paycheck Fairness Act.
Senators Patty Murray, Barbara Mikulski, and Dianne Feinstein say the bill aimed at closing the gender pay gap is long overdue. In a letter to the Majority Leader, the senators write, "The wage gap is not just a women's issue. It also impacts families who depend on working women." In addition to closing the pay gap, the legislation seeks to prohibit retaliation against asking about or discussing an employee's wage. It also would block employers from making employees sign paperwork saying they won't talk about how much they are paid, and the bill would strengthen penalties for gender pay discrimination. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says he will not endorse Hillary Clinton until they meet, and he measures her commitment to battling Wall Street, wealth inequality, and other priorities of his. The Vermont senator tells CBS-TV's Face the Nation program that her stance on those issues, quote, will determine how closely we can work with her. Ohio Governor John Kasich is remembering fellow Republican George Voinovich as a, quote, unifier who fought outside the box. Voinovich, former Ohio governor, died early today at his home in Cleveland. He was 79. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
The government and FedEx are set to do battle in federal court in San Francisco over the explosive claim that the shipping company knowingly delivered illegal prescription drugs such as Ambien from pill mills to dealers and addicts, some of whom died. FedEx has denied the charges and says it only shipped what it believed were legal drugs from licensed pharmacies. Opening statement set for tomorrow. The trial is unusual both for the government's decision to bring drug charges against a package delivery company and for the lack of a settlement. Rival UPS paid $40 million in 2013 to resolve similar allegations that arose from a year-long government crackdown on Internet pharmacies that ship drugs to customers without valid prescriptions. Authorities say five pedestrians, including three children, were seriously injured when a car fleeing the scene of an earlier accident hit them in northwest Las Vegas last night. The police say two of the children are in critical condition. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A puppy stolen at gunpoint from a 14-year-old San Francisco Bay Area boy has been found safe.
The boy was walking a three-month-old German Shepherd named Maya in San Leandro on Monday night when two men rolled up in a car. The passenger got out and tried to snatch the dog, but the boy resisted. The driver then got out with a gun. The men took nothing but the dog and fled. Police say the puppy has now been found safe. Maya is a purebred black shepherd. Patrick Foss reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 12th. It's the 164th day of 2016. There are 202 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1776, Virginia's colonial legislature adopted a Declaration of Rights. It would become the model for the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. And on this date in 1967, the U.S. Supreme Court in Loving v. Virginia struck down state laws that prohibited interracial marriages. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore for Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Submission. No, that's a problem.
Yeah. There you
go. Sovereign Mind Radio. Yeah, I keep thinking of the Leonidas, you know, and the Persian War under 300. It's like submission. Now that's going to be a problem. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a problem because I don't think anybody's going to submit to this crap that is an American and who believes in the Constitution, who believes in property rights, who believes in limited government, who believes that they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed.
How can you if you believe in the Constitution?
And in our studio right now, we have Tom Basenko, our sheriff. And what do you say to that, Tom?
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Linda, thanks
good
for having
morning.
Me on. I know it was
a
last-minute thing. I got a phone call and some text messages this morning. And they said, hey, can you come on like the 11th or the 18th? And I said, that's a ways out. And there's a lot of apprehension about this court decision with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and other parts of the Constitution as well. And it's what's going on in our legislation. I listened to Patrick prior to coming in, and he was hitting a lot of the key points that I'll probably cover again on some of the legislation and this court decision as well. but it is very concerning about the way our Constitution is not being followed and the laws are not being followed or enforced in many, many cases. And it seems to be getting worse than better.
Well, I mean, and when you look at that little blurb I read about, you know, Governor Brown passes, or the legislators, not Governor Brown, he passed the health care thing about the immigrants, giving them all health care. But the Senate in California passed a bill saying exempting them from all of the gun laws. I mean,
sure.
I mean, if that's not tyranny, I mean, I don't know what it is.
And it's I can have it and you can't is what they're saying.
Right.
And also, we don't trust you to have it, which is a big concern for our state legislators or any legislators, as a matter of fact, that goes. And some of them have bodyguards and armed guards. Depending on their level within the state legislature, they may get dignitary protection from the California Highway Patrol. That's their job, is dignitary protection and the protection of our state appellate judges and Supreme Court judges.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with them being protected. They seem to have a problem with me protecting myself.
Us being protected.
Correct. Yeah.
And earlier, we talked about the criminal element. Those people are not following the law, nor are they going to follow the law.
Ever.
But these laws that are being made are really only impacting law-abiding citizens and turning law-abiding citizens into criminals if they don't follow it.
Well, I have a question there, and where do we draw the line that a new law turns a citizen into a criminal, that it's actually the person that created the law that's the criminal because it violates the Constitution?
It may violate in your interpretation, so I'm not just playing devil's advocate here. A lot of times people say, hey, that's unconstitutional. But legally, it doesn't become unconstitutional until it's challenged and ruled on by a court. Even then, it may be a law. So there was like an assembly bill 962 a number of years ago that was going to outlaw certain gun ammunition, and that ammunition could be used either in a handgun or a rifle. It got challenged by a sheriff in Tama County, Clay Parker, at the time, and for constitutionality. Went to court, and the court said, hey, you're right. This is unconstitutional, and they struck down that law.
Okay.
So we're having a number of laws that we are challenging right now. The city of Los Angeles enacted an ordinance that said it is illegal to have what they consider a large capacity magazine. I'll just refer to them as LCMs. So it have an LCM that has anything greater than 10 rounds, 11 rounds or higher, for the city of Los Angeles. Well, if you lived here and you have an LCM and you went into the city of Los Angeles or through the city of Los Angeles, you're in violation. You become a law breaker just because you're traveling into or through the city of Los Angeles. Also, there's a number of cities in Los Angeles that are like islands within their city. I think El Centro is one of them. So if you traveled out of El Centro into the city of Los Angeles, you go from being legal to illegal. So a number of us took that on, us being sheriffs, myself as lead plaintiff, and 28 other sheriffs in addition to some other citizens, and said, hey, this is wrong. That case is still being litigated and carried out. The California Rifle Pistol Association is leading the charge with that one and some other gun groups, and so we're seeing how that works out. In other cases, City of Sunnyvale and the City of Los Angeles City of San Francisco have similar ordinances banning LCMs as well. Those were challenged on Second Amendment issues and failed. And so those, if you went into Sunnyvale or San Francisco with an LCM, that's illegal under their ordinance. And both of those cities don't have law enforcement exemptions. So if a retired officer went in, or an officer, say, from Shasta, went to San Francisco or Sunnyvale with an LCM, they're technically in violation of the law.
Well, it seems like the law is in violation of the law, if you ask me.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And then earlier, you know, someone said, hey, the U.S. Constitution trumps, no pun intended, trumps the the state constitution. You're right. The United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and laws cannot be in conflict with the Constitution, nor can they override it. They can be more specific and be more regulatory, but they can't conflict with state law, with the constitutional law. And in California, the California Constitution, California does not have an equal to the Second Amendment. It's one of about 10 states that does not recognize or just is silent on the right to protect yourself or have a Second Amendment. most other states do have some clause that either mirrors the Second Amendment or says that you have the ability to protect yourself or protect life and liberty and make some innuendos towards the Second Amendment.
But that's a natural law. I mean, that's what the Constitution is based on, is natural law. You know, go back into Vattel and all of that. And, you know, what they were talking about is you have a natural right to defend yourself. It's a gift. It's not one that comes from the government. It's one that comes from God.
Yeah. Right. You know?
And so when we talk about the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, as long as it follows the Constitution. You know, I mean, you got the Supreme Court, and they're not always following the Constitution. I mean, like, you know, you take Roe versus Wade, and they opine. They, you know, we say they're rulings, but they're really opinions. And but the final say-so rests with we the people if you follow the document to its end source.
Those court decisions make an interpretation of the law, just like you were saying, like Roe v. Wade or anything else. In the Second Amendment cases, two recent decisions have been Heller versus the District of Columbia, and that was basically said that a citizen does have a right to own and keep arms in their home because the District of Columbia did not allow that. And it did not apply to states because it was only a ruling on districts. And then following the Heller decision, another decision came out from Chicago v. McDonald, which then applied to state issues that said, yes, a citizen does have a right to keep and bear arms. That could change with the change of the makeup of the Supreme Court in the United States.
But then, again, you know, what happens is if they make a ruling that's not constitutional, let's say that they make a ruling, you no longer have the right to own guns. Well, then it's up to us to say at some point, you know something, we really don't care what your interpretation is because it's pretty simple.
I think you'd probably see a revolution then.
Right.
Probably a reenactment because there are approximately 400 million guns in the United States owned by approximately 4 million gun owners.
Well, and that's what Hillary's talking about. I mean, if Hillary gets in there, she's talking about getting rid of her guns as much as possible.
You want to hear something scary is go to, you can see it on Gun Owners of California, or you can go to Reggie Jones Sawyer. He's an assemblyman out of L.A., and he gave a press conference in May, about May 18th. And in there, he's an anti-gunner, and in there he was saying the Second Amendment is too old. It was made in 1791, and it's outdated, and it needs to be changed and updated for modern times. And he was saying that it needs to be changed. Number one, yeah, it is old, but it's withstood the test of time, as well all the other amendments, especially the first 10 amendments. They were made basically at the same time as the Constitution and enacted. And hey, Mr. Jones, you do not have the authority to change the Constitution. That requires a convention of the states to go make constitutional amendments. But he's calling for that and trying to do that. And
well, I bet you when they're calling for that, are they calling to disarm everybody in government as well?
Well, the other part of that is, okay, the First Amendment was made at the same time. Is he saying that you don't have the right to religious freedoms or the right to assemble
That's
and protest?
That's convoluted reasoning. It doesn't make any sense.
The right to free speech. Certainly our forefathers did not envision the computers and the communication systems we have now, the way our newspapers are, worldwide news. But it's still, the Constitution is you have the right to free speech.
Right.
They did not envision people burning the flag or protesting the way they do, but it still gives them a right to assemble and protest peacefully and do that.
Right.
They did not envision the computer and databases that we have now, our phones, our many computers and databases. There was a recent court decision that said, hey, people are protected in these devices, electronic devices, computers and smartphones, because they have a reasonable expectation of privacy and there are papers and effects essentially in those computers. That protects them on the Fourth Amendment. So if he's saying that the Second Amendment is too old, he's essentially saying those other ones are too old and need to be changed.
Absolutely.
And that concerns me greatly when we have an elected official in a position of authority that is saying that.
And that's one of my worries is the conundrum that average citizens kind of feel they find themselves in sometimes when there is something that is passed that it is clearly a violation of the Constitution, and then they're caught between, well, do I follow the law of the land, or do I do something about this that's clearly in violation of the Supreme
Law? And it makes
it
difficult because It is a law at the time. They may feel that it's unconstitutional, but again, until there's a court decision on it, it's basically lawful. It but goes back to what Patrick was talking about earlier about our attorney general who wants to become our next senator. There was a court decision that said, hey, the 10-day waiver period for firearms can be waived if you're a concealed weapons permit holder or you've gone through and purchased a handgun recently or a firearm and gone through this background check. But then they said no, went to federal court. The federal court said yes. And now they were going to develop a program several years in the making, still has not taken effect. And now they're having to take her back to court to sue her, the state, that says, hey, there's a federal court decision. She's essentially thumbing her nose at the federal judge, and now she wants to be our senator. Yeah. And that's scary. And she's a big anti-gunner as well.
Absolutely.
And it was against the death penalty. There was a San Francisco officer that was shot and killed on the courthouse steps a number of years ago, and then she refused to prosecute the gang member who shot him for the death penalty.
Well, that seems to be... That's why I say I think there's something wrong with these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, these Democrats and these liberals that just, you know, they don't use common sense for anything, and especially the guys who are the politicians are using that to retain power.
Yeah. And we are outnumbered in Sacramento with the liberals down there. We have some good legislators up here with Assemblyman Brian Dolly and James Gallagher, who recently gave a speech on the steps of the Capitol pro Second Amendment, and with Senator Gaines, who's a pro Second Amendment person as well, Jim Nielsen, a pro Second Amendment person, and they've represented the North State well here. Where are we at for a break coming up?
We can go anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to cover that recent decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals
on CCW.
On CCW, because I know there's a lot of anxiety out there, and I wanted to try and clear the air for some of the people there. So why don't we maybe take an early break and come back, because I do have a lot of information on
that.
Okay. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Calling all beer lovers, Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay is the summer event for you. On June 24th, celebrate the solstice at the Sundial Bridge with beer from some of Northern California's favorite breweries. Join us for live music, tasty food, and activities like cornhole and make and take your own coaster. Tickets are $10 for Turtle Bay members and $12 for non-members and includes your first full beer. Sponsored by Reading Distributing, this 21 and over event is sure to sell out, so buy your tickets now. Visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
There's country in the air at the Shasta District Fair, jam-packed with entertainment for all. Wednesday's Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day is free admission to kids 12 and under with Canada's country music, High Valley Concert, brought to you by Wildcard Brewing Company. Thursday is Record Searchlight Action News Now, Senior Day with free admission 62 and over, and the music of Journey Revisited, sponsored by Sierra Nevada Brewery. Friday's Members First Credit Union Grandstand Concert features country music's Jackson Mickelson, sponsored by Miller Coors. And Saturday, it's Tri-County Bank's annual Junior Livestock Auction, plus Budweiser and Bud Light present action-packed go-kart, auto, and boat races. Organized chaos at its best. All this plus hypnotist Chris Mabry, World of Reptiles exhibit, strolling comedy and magic show, local bands, camel rides, talent show, and much more. Carnival rides, fair food, and plenty of free entertainment with paid fair admission when the Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 15th. Advanced carnival and admission tickets save you as much as 30% and must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. I learned how to get along. But now you're back, thrown on the stage. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Lord, I now go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with your spy? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give, and I'll survive. I will survive. I will survive.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. And, yeah, we're going to survive. That's a fact. Wow. A lot of stuff today that kind of stands the hair on the back of your neck up a little bit here, considering everything that's happened. But let's cover this CCW issue.
Yeah, a lot of angst about that. A lot in the news, both locally and throughout the state as well. So let me I'll cover kind of the whole thing. Patrick got into it just a little bit. And kind of maybe let a little good teaser lead in for it. But in California, California is a may issue state for concealed weapons licenses. And in order to get one, you have to undergo a course of training anywhere from 12 hours here, and then do an application, get fingerprinted, and do a background check, and then have your weapons that you want listed on the concealed weapons permit. And you have to state, under the law, you have to state a good cause. That good cause can vary from county to county or city to city. The issuing authorities for concealed weapons permits are basically sheriffs and chiefs of police, and there's over 450 cities in California. Some chiefs have ceded their authority to let the sheriff issue for the entire county, and that's the way it is here in Shasta County, and I believe in Riverside and San Diego and a few other counties, the sheriff issues for the entire county, including all cities in the state. Also, you have to be of good moral character, as it refers to in the law. So if you've never been arrested, but let's say we're coming over to a person's house for disturbances, fights, maybe drunkenness, although it's not a crime to be drunk in your home, and some arguments, that may not be necessarily the best person to give a weapon to, even though they could lawfully own one. Or maybe you've been arrested a number of times, but never been convicted of any crime. You can still lawfully have handguns or any firearms. But again, maybe this person who is always in sideways with the law, but now getting convicted, may not be the best person to give it. That's what that good moral character is about.
I would think that there would be a judgment on a case-by-case basis as well, because it depends on what they're getting arrested for, too.
Correct. And in California, that good moral character is very subjective and up to a lot of discretion by the issuing authority. So
now, how far back do you look into someone's history?
A lot of times we go back and we say, have you ever been arrested? Ever been arrested? And then for what? So if they go back and, I forgot about that burglary charge when I was 18 years old. Most people remember if they got arrested and put in jail or went to court. And so then that goes towards truthfulness and openness as well. If they forgot maybe a speeding ticket they got when they were 18, that's something a little different. But and that speeding ticket wouldn't impact that. But
let's say somebody had an arrest for something, say, 20 years ago.
Depends on what that arrest is for. And was it a conviction? Is it a prohibiting reason? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they got arrested for burglary and the case was dismissed. Okay, then we might try and pull that case if it was here locally or with that other agency and get some details on it. And how long ago? So, and what did it involve? But anyway, back on June 19th, the 9th District Court of Appeals, which is one of the most liberal courts, federal courts in the nation and the most overturned, issued a decision that there was no constitutional right, a Second Amendment right to a Second Amendment. And before everybody starts calling in and going crazy on the chat room, let me clarify that. And so the facts of the case, the sheriffs in San Diego and Yolo counties put out policies regarding their CCWs, and then the appellates, in this particular case, it was Peruta v. San Diego and Richards v. Yolo County and the Sheriff Prieto there. And under there, they were denied their concealed weapons permit. And they said, basically, hey, you never gave us enough good cause in order to issue you one. And I know that I think Yolo County issues 400 or less CCWs, and they have a population of just over 200,000. I don't know how many San Diego has, but they have several million population there. And so the majority's view that the of the court viewed the Second Amendment required the states to permit some form of carry for self-defense outside the home. And California requires that good cause statement. And so based on that, they held in Peruta and combined with Richards that it didn't violate that. So then the courts in California, as I said, the California Penal Code generally prohibits the carrying of arms, of firearms, concealed or open in public. A few years ago, they made it unlawful to open carry in cities and counties. And there's a whole bunch of exceptions to it that I won't cover here. But in the plaintiff's case of Peruta and Richards, the plaintiffs did not contend there was a freestanding Second Amendment right in their application and their suit that went before the Ninth Circuit to carry a concealed weapon. And the court wrote that because plaintiffs challenge only policies governing concealed carry, we reach the only question is whether the Second Amendment protects in any degree the ability to carry concealed firearms in public. And based on an overwhelming consensus of historical sources, we conclude that the protection of the Second Amendment, whatever the scope of that protection may be, simply does not extend to carrying of concealed firearms in public by members of the general public. And that was an opinion by an en banc, which means 11 federal justices of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
That should be overturned.
That likely may go before the Supreme Court. It was going to. We law enforcement were suspecting no matter who won in the case, it was going to get appealed to SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. That may change now because right now it's a 4-4 because we're missing Judge Scalia.
Well, they'd have to fast track it to get it there right now.
And
anyway.
I kind of doubt that's going to happen before the election. after the election. It depends on who's president and who makes the appointments to the to SCOTUS.
Right.
The decision went on that concluding the Second Amendment preserves the right of members of the general public to keep and bear arms. They did recognize that in their homes for self-defense. They hold the district's ban. They were referring to the Heller decision that a possession of ban on handguns or any firearms in the home violates the Second Amendment, as does a prohibition or against rendering any lawful firearm in the home inoperable for the purposes of immediate self-defense. And that was out of Heller. Remember, that was a district decision. And then Heller left open of, does it apply to states? And then it went to the McDonald decision, and the McDonald decided, similar to Heller, that yes, it is lawful, and you have Second Amendment protections for self-defense. The big one came of this court decision. So here in Shasta County, what is good cause? Self-protection and or self-defense.
Right.
Protection of others or defense of others and to comply with the law. It's that simple. It's not a complete sentence, but if you want to put enough other words in there to make it a complete sentence, that's fine. You don't have to write 3 pages of why you want it. That is fine, and that works here. Down in Los Angeles County, San Diego County, that would not cut it as good cause. In the areas of San Francisco, Alameda County, Contra Costa County, and I think Marin County included in there, all those counties combined, general population, several million.
Right.
They issue less total combined, less than 200 permits.
Now, I read somewhere that the only way you can get a permit other than be a public official or some sort is that if you've got a restraining order out on you was part of this decision.
In some jurisdiction, there's also part of the law that's part of one of those exceptions that if you have a restraining order and basically in fear of your safety for this and it's very articulable, then you can have a CCW. And some agencies require that you have very articulable and verifiable. It just, you can't say, well, I'm afraid of someone, or I got a restraining order, I'm afraid of this person. They're going to have to show some life threats, basically.
Kind of nonsensical, though. I mean, if you get a restraining order, how long does it take to apply and get a CCW permit? By the time you get the permit, after the restraining order, you're probably dead anyway.
Well, they have an exemption to if you have a restraining order as well. So that does not change here in Shasta County and with many of the rural county sheriffs. Nearby, I know the sheriffs, and I know that they're very similar to us, as well as some of the others in the Central Valley area. Sheriff Scott Jones out of Sacramento, he's running for Congress as well against a Democrat. When he first took office, he's in his second term now. When he first took office, I think there was 300 or 400 concealed weapons permit for Sacramento, who has basically a million population. Now he has like 8,500 permits because he's a pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment sheriff and has been issuing very heavily since then. Fresno County has over 7,000. Kern County has over 7,000. Another colleague of mine, El Dorado County, rural county, and they have, I think, around 1,200 to 1,500 permits.
Just if you know off the top of your head, how many applications have you turned down?
We roughly turned down about 10% of the applicants. I don't know how many total applications we have, but
year. That's good enough because I was trying to factor in.
And sometimes, if you fill out an application, you have to pay fees.
Right.
And if you get rejected, those fees are not refundable.
Right.
So for us, instead of having a conflict of someone getting upset that they lost their money, you can bring in your application and have us do a preview of it. And we look at it and we go, this could be an issue, and you may not get issued, but if you want to pay your fees, be aware that it's non-refundable. Right. But it may not get issued because of these things that we see here. And then that person can go away and do that. But if they say, hey, I want to take my chances, which is usually relatively few, they can push it through if they wish. So we do that as a way of saving some people some money.
So you're not getting an overwhelming amount of demand for the CCWs?
We are getting a very much of a demand for the CCWs. We're running about 3 months out for that. And that reason is the state. hundreds of millions of people in the state, maybe about 100, a little over 100 million, I think, or 200 million. But anyway, millions of people in the state. How many people do you think the state has to approve fingerprints for CCW? People working on it.
Two?
A lot.
You're one over. They have one person
one
who is that.
Kidding me?
Now, they have other people doing fingerprints, but it's for different stuff, for licensing, working in schools. And if you had a job and says, hey, I need to get fingerprinted because I got a job at a school, you have to get fingerprinted because you're working around kids. That gets processed in about 2 or 3 days.
CCWs, they've created a bottleneck as well.
They have, yeah. And that's a problem. And every sheriff is seeing that throughout the state, especially the ones that issue a lot. And that's a big concern for me as well.
Now, is there any method for people that may be disqualified? Is there any way for them to go remedy those disqualifications?
Depends on what the disqualification is. If it's they have maybe an arrest and they're a prohibiting person, no, because they can't legally own a firearm. If they have this one that goes to good moral character, and that's subjective, yes, their remedy is they can appeal it to me. I have staff that process the paperwork, and they have interviews, and they can appeal it to me. I've had a few of those, but first thing I do is I check with my staff. Okay, why was this person denied a permit? And they have all the information there, and I can only think of one or two that I had them go back and look at it and probably overruled them on it. Most of the time, they know my philosophy. They know that I'm pro-gun and pro-CCW, and so they issue accordingly. But on the ones that are a little bit of a sticky wicket, they usually come to me first, even before denying it, and say, what do you think? And I go over it.
So these guys, a lot of these guys that have committed these crimes have given up their right of self-defense, basically, with a firearm.
Sometimes they have, depending on what they've done to prevent them from getting a concealed weapon. They don't give up their right to self-defense. They give up their ability to carry concealed with a license. Some of them, again, go back to remember what I said, that they could still be lawful gun owners,
right,
but they may not be eligible due to circumstances
right
to carry concealed. So they could still have all the guns they want in their home, lawfully owned, and or go out and about if they wanted to go hunting and stuff. That's not a problem.
So we do have an open carry in California then, to a degree.
Only when you're hunting. Open carry became open carry, for the folks that don't know of that, is basically what you see most uniformed police officers carrying. We have a gun on our hip, and we're openly carrying it. And so open carry was allowed until a few years ago, and you could carry a gun openly, unloaded, in the incorporated cities of California, or it could be loaded within the unincorporated area in the county, and you could carry that openly.
So if I took my truck and I put a gun rack in the back window there and put a couple of rifles in there, as long as there wasn't one in the chamber, I would be okay?
Then you would have been okay. Now open carry is prohibited. And then when you made a motion, which you can't see on radio, but he made a motion of like putting it under his leg. Well, then if you're concealing it in the vehicle a little differently, because then you have to have it locked up and in a case and everything. But basically have it in a gun rack in the window, that would be open carry, and that could be a problem. And then if you had...
By the way, I had an itch.
Yeah, okay. But some people legitimately have it like where you can put it behind the seat, a long gun, especially ranchers and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
And the governor made that. Now, also another bill that came about was even more restrictive, was Senate Bill 707. And before, you know, it was a, quote, crime to have a gun within 1,000 feet of a school zone. And there was exemptions for law enforcement officers and for people that had concealed carry permits. 707 took that away. And so it changed. If you had a CCW, you could no longer carry on school grounds, colleges, or universities. And now, unless you had the permission of the superintendent. Well, Anderson High School District became the first school district in the state of California that said, no, you can go ahead and concealed carry on school campuses, not for students, but anybody that wants to concealed carry, you can. Some other school districts in the state have also taken that up and are either considering or have passed it since then.
I would think that they would want to if they had any common sense, because, you know, there is a reliability factor based on the sheriff's screening of the concealed carrier permits.
That's right.
And the fact is that, you know, with in light of everything, especially looking at the shooting that just happened last night out in Florida, you know, I mean, you know, the people that are out there shooting people are criminals. Why would you want to have everybody unarmed on a campus? I don't get it.
Since 1981, nationwide, gun ownership has gone up consistently. Violent crime with guns
has gone down.
Has gone down.
Yeah.
Guns are not the problem. What the problem are the criminals.
Right.
Chicago, very high crime rate. Very high crime rate with guns. But Illinois is one of the most restrictive states in the nation against guns. New York, the same way. Washington, D.C., same way. Most of these ones I'm just naming have very high homicide rates, murders with guns. California, gee, we have a high crime rate. Wonder why. Does it have anything to do with releasing a bunch of prisoners from prison? Does it have a being restrictive on gun ownership and becoming more restrictive? There's a big, I know we're getting towards the end of the hour.
We got 15 minutes.
Okay, but we see, and as we talked about it, a lot of legislation at the state level that's going to be impacting gun owners. They want to outlaw and ban large-capacity magazines. They want to make it a requirement that you have to get a license and a background check to purchase ammunition. You become a criminal if you take a box of ammunition and say, oh, you didn't bring your ammunition with you while you went hunting? No problem. Here's a box of ammunition. And now you've just become a lawbreaker because you've loaned or transfers or give ammunition to another person and you're not a licensed vendor.
What happened to common freaking sense?
It went out the window at the state capitol.
Good.
That's the problem.
That's one of the things that bugs me, too, is like the gun-free zones and things like that. I lost a good friend of mine up in Oregon at the Umpqua College. And if that had not been a gun-free zone, knowing my friend, there is a very good chance he would have had his pistol.
The majority, if not all, I'd have to research everyone, but I can firmly say the majority of the mass shootings that we have seen throughout the United States have been at gun-free zones. We have two shootings at Fort Hood. We have the Naval Yard shooting. We have
and most of them have been Muslim.
We have
Muslim immigrants.
We have Sandy Hook. We have Columbine.
Are crazy people.
We see that time and time again, but a gun-free zone only says to the wolves, the criminals,
right,
that there are no guns there for you to prevent a criminal from taking action with a firearm.
That's what I was going to say, going back to that, is that's the place that the criminals look for. That's their breeding ground, is to go to those areas that they know that nobody can protect themselves.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
My buddy, we were all born and raised around guns, and it would have been natural for me
We have to go to a break.
By making our citizens helpless, it does not make criminals harmless. And then let's go to the break, and we'll come back.
All right. Absolutely. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Taking me easy way out. Got a good reason.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
If you have knee or hip pain, learn how to stop hurting and start moving again. Providence Orthopedic Institute invites you to a free talk on June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Mako Technology at Providence may be the right solution for your knee or hip joint pain. Life is better in motion, so come to Providence Orthopedic Institute's free talk, Friday, June 17th at Mount Shasta Resort. Register at 888-907-0915 or at providence.org/jointrobot.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
There's Country in the Air at the Shasta District Fair featuring High Valley and singer-songwriter Jackson Mickelson. Now is the time to purchase your advance passes and save as much as 30% on daily entrance tickets and ride all day carnival wristbands. Join us Wednesday for Pepsi Waterworks Park Kids Day with kids admission 12 and under free. And the free prize drawing at 6 p.m. on the Pepsi stage. To save on ride all day carnival wristbands and admission tickets, go to ShastaDistrictFair.com or call the fairgrounds office to find the ticket location nearest you. Advance tickets must be purchased by the close of business Tuesday, June 14th. Fair opens June 15th.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore for Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
D-Ball! Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's Nazis in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Finish what you got.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. We're running out of time here. Got a couple of things Tom wants to talk about here real quick. Talk about the Portland shooting.
Yeah, there was a a comment in the chat room that said, what about the Portland Mall shooting? Excuse me again. And in the Portland Mall shooting, it happened a couple years ago. Active shooter came into there. There was a person with a person with concealed carry that removed their firearm, and either was behind concealment or cover, And the shooter saw the gun, saw this. They had eye contact, and the active shooter then took his own life. And it was, again, a law-abiding citizen with a gun that probably saved lives right there. And every day throughout the United States, there's a number of incidents where law-abiding citizens save lives, either coming in on an armed robbery at a convenience store. Every month I subscribe, I'm an NRA member, I subscribe to the NRA magazine, and every month there's a whole page of little thumbnails where guns have prevented criminals or saved lives there, but mainstream media does not report on that. And we have a caller on the line, I think you said, Linda?
Yeah, we do. We've got Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hi. I know you're running out of time here, so I'll give you this as a quick example. I've been a long-term resident of Redding probably since the early 70s, and I frequently go up in the upper Sacramento to fish and have carried a charter arm five-shot combination of 38 and shot shells, kind of remote areas at time, and a lot of transients have ride the rails as you're up in that area. And I've been told numerous times, including when I was thinking about getting a concealed permit from when I was down at the Sheriff's Department, as well as some of the gun shops, that that's not a real issue up in that circumstance. Is that still the situation, or as
you can still basically what you're doing is you're open carrying, correct, Jimmy?
Yes.
When you're hunting and fishing, double check with Fish and Wildlife, but I'm reasonably sure that does still allow you to do that. I would still encourage you to get your concealed weapons permit and then have it with you. And then, because you never know where crime or criminals are going to strike. I look at mine just like an American Express card, and I'll plagiarize their commercial from years ago, don't leave home without it.
Yeah, and I think what prompted this call is that prior to my call, you guys were discussing another issue, and whoever was speaking said hunting, but they didn't say fishing. So that kind of raised the flag for me.
Yeah, well,
and I agree, and you know, I will probably have to go ahead and get a concealed because as I approach my 80s and I avoid walking the trail, whereas I used to be capable of taking care of myself, I'm no longer as physically as endowed as I was when I was in my 20s.
Right, and for those people that are maybe a little cautious and they're not sure, at least take a gun course and be familiar with gun operation, at least be somewhat comfortable around them, even if you're not going to be a gun owner. And then also, you can be an owner of pepper spray. There's no requirement for licensing on that. And you can also buy a taser. Taser shoots out a couple of darts with wires. A stun gun, you have to have direct contact. So you can actually buy a taser. They're about the same price as a firearm, but you can also buy a taser if somebody is really apprehensive about a firearm.
Well, there's also a lot of bears up there, by the way.
Yeah,
so.
Another good reason.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
as,
and rattlesnakes, and you never know what you're going to encounter.
As Linda said earlier, be responsible and be a good gun owner, and you should take some precautions to where if you have little ones in the house, either your own kids or grandkids coming over, the guns should be secured in a way that young hands cannot get on.
I highly recommend they got those little safe vaults with the buttons over there.
I got one of those at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
Regular gun safe.
Oh, they're perfect, you know, because, and they got them on sale right now at Costco for $79, $20.
Great investment.
Off.
Sometimes
absolutely.
I've seen them as low as $49 at Costco. And it's not going to prevent theft, but it prevents young hands from getting into it.
Yep.
And then if you have other guns or even just one gun, buy a relatively inexpensive gun safe. They have them at Costco again for like $350, but they go up from there. There's some good local dealerships like Cold Steel Safe.
Absolutely.
You can put your important papers in there and protect them from fire, electronics, and stuff like that. And so a safe is a good investment for things other than firearms, too.
Also,
it's hard to drag it up that upper Sacramento.
We've got to get to the Newsom thing or we're going
to
run out of time.
Yeah, we've got to get to the Newsom initiative.
All right.
I'll let you go.
All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks for calling in, Jimmy.
You bet.
The
Bye.
Newsom gun initiative is called Safety for All. Basically, it's safety for none. And it is going to be on, likely be on the November ballot. That's a big one to vote no for. It wants to take away large capacity magazines. It wants to make again, criminals out of citizens if you don't report your gun as lost or stolen within a period of time. It wants to ban what they call assault weapons, semi-automatic centerfire rifles. It's all bad. Again, you can get more information on Gun Owners of California, gunownersca.org, or California Rifle Pistol Association, crpa.org, both on the Newsom Initiative and the other guns legislation that we're seeing at the state level. And a lot of these state legislations are being mirrored
for the Newsom Gun Initiative, because our legislators, the anti-gunners, don't want to see this on the ballot because they know that it's going to bring out gun owners voting against it, conservatives voting against it, and they don't want to see that in the election. And you said something earlier about DeLeon. I'm familiar with that statement, but I can't repeat it as good as you
President
can.
President pro tem of the Senate, Kevin DeLeon, the Whig, as I call him, he made the pronouncement that he doesn't want to see the ballot initiatives because they have worked too long and too hard, and this is too important to leave this decision up to the will and opinion of the citizens.
Well, we're out of time, guys. Oh, wow. Sorry, I got to cut you off. So remember to get involved out there. The system is rigged to blow. George Soros is preparing for economic collapse. Does he know something? You don't. He's been selling all his socks and buying gold. But
look up France.
Yeah, it's getting ugly out there. But remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put parties above principles. No, we put principles above parties. And liberty above security.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
John Hopper says the investigation into the cause of the mass shooting is just starting.
We'll determine officially whether it's a hate crime or a terrorism incident or even a violent crime once we have all the facts in place. We're at the very early stages, and as much as I would like to give you everything we have, we can't give you things that aren't 100% accurate.
Democratic Senator Bill Nelson says that officials have told him that there is a terrorism link to the nightclub shootings.
I asked the FBI if there was any connection to Islamic radicalism. There appears to be.
Police Chief John Mina, meanwhile, says 50 people were killed, 53 more are in the hospital. The President of France is among those reacting to the mass killing in Florida today. A statement from his office says Francois Hollande...